This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, yes, the madness is about to get underway here in the month of March. One of the great events, sporting events in our country, the NCAA Men's Division I Basketball Tournament fires into full gear tomorrow. We got some local teams that will be playing tomorrow in March Madness, and none other better guest to join us right now here on the Voice of St. Louis, Billiken Hall of Famer, Scotty Highmark. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Scott. It's always good to be with you, man. It feels like it's Christmas Eve and Christmas is tomorrow. The tournament starts and the fun begins.
So back in the day, for those youngsters that might be tuned in to the Voice of St. Louis, Scotty, of course, a Hall of Fame career, and he and Clags and aged. Well, you made it to the tournament. Tell us what that was like for you to be in the big dance and going into, you know, national TV, big arenas. What was that for you like?
Well, it was kind of a tale of 2 years. My junior year, we were the very first game on Thursday at 11:20 in Wichita, and we played Maryland. And I remember walking out on the court, Scott, and I saw Billy Packer and Jim Nance, which were like the team,
right,
doing our game. And we were the first game in the tournament. And I remember walking out on the floor going, wow, this is a big deal. And then, unfortunately, we lost that game. And I remember being back at my apartment at SLU. We played at 11 o'clock. We were probably done about 1. We flew back at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm watching the NCAA tournament, thinking to myself, did I just play in the NCAA tournament? Because I'm back at my apartment watching the tournament.
That was quick.
So It was quick. The next year, my senior year, we actually won a game, got to stay the weekend. We beat Minnesota, played Tim Duncan in Wake Forest. Ooh. That actually felt like an amazing experience because it was a great way to finish our college career. So it was amazing. It was, you know, to have your one shining moment was a really cool way to cap my college career.
So you see Packer and Nance, I mean, are your eyes as big as saucers right there? Like, oh my God, we're really here. Holy smokes.
Yes. And you remember Coach Spoonauer was our coach, and we were in the locker room 3 minutes before the game. One of my teammates, Donnie Dobbs, he says, Donnie, are you nervous? And Donnie was, you know, always very confident. He said, no, I'm not nervous at all. And Spoon says, well, why do you have your jersey on backwards? True story. He literally had his jersey on backwards. He was so nervous. So we were a little uptight that first year. And, you know, Spoon had a way of trying to loosen us up, but it was it was just a little big, but too much of a big stage for us that first year.
Donnie Dobbs, one of my all-time favorite players, literally. You talk about, what was he, like 6'2", 6'3", but was just a rebounding machine for you guys. He was absolutely tremendous. All right, so we get a kick started tomorrow, and obviously there's always great storylines. I mentioned this in the first hour. The three that kind of are centric to where we live here in St. Louis, first is what's going on in Edwardsville with the Cougars. I think it's just awesome. You know, they just became Division I, 15 whatever years ago, and they're finally going dancing for the first time.
It's so cool. I mean, Coach Brony's done such a great job. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, growing up in St. Louis like you and I have, we've been following that program. I mean, back in the day when they were, you know, very, very competitive, maybe even dominant Division II program, and then making that transition, it's been such a struggle for that program. But to kind of cap it off and build a foundation there, and what he's done and the university has done, is just so cool. You know, whatever happens, you know, in their game, it doesn't really matter. They've already won, and just so happy for him. And remember his father, Tony Barone. So just super happy for the Cougars.
And they'll tip it off at 1 o'clock against the Houston Cougars. Then later in Wichita, it'll be the champions from the Missouri Valley Conference, the Drake Bulldogs, as they will take on the sixth seed. That's the seed that the Missouri Tigers, who kind of stumbled late at the end of the season, still get a sixth seed. But again, I think it's a tremendous story from what had transpired in Columbia last year compared to what Coach Gates has put together this season.
Well, it's an amazing turnaround that Coach Gates and the team have done there in Columbia. But I think from a local level, the most interesting matchup for sure. You know, you know the Missouri Valley Conference as well as anybody, Scott. I mean, that what a fun team to watch Drake and Ben McCollum make the transition from Northwest Missouri to Drake and take four of his starters with them. And it's just going to be an interesting game on a lot of different levels. Four of their starters are from Missouri. So you knew they grew up being Tiger fans. Now they're playing against the Tigers in the tournament. Drake plays one of the, I'd say slow, but they reduce the number of possessions in the game. And it'll be interesting to see if they can continue that pace if Missouri can get them to play a little bit faster. But, you know, with Missouri, they just got so much talent. I mean, they go 13, 14 deep, yep. Assuming Mark Mitchell's healthy. Caleb Grill's one of the most interesting players in college basketball to watch for me. They're just so deep, so talented. I think that's going to be a really hard first-round game against Sturts and Drake. But if they can win that game, I think they could win a few games, Scott, and get to that second weekend because they are so deep and talented.
Well, I just mentioned this right before we went to a break and put you on the air is the fact that doing some Drake games, they slow the game down so much that I think that is actually going to agitate the Missouri Tigers. And you know this, if you play an up-tempo game and the other team's forcing you to slow it down because they'll take almost all 30 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah.
And so that forces you to do things that you normally don't do, where then you have turnovers, you're taking shots that you normally don't take, and it just gets you out of sorts. And I think that at least is my prediction that could start some confusion, at least as far as Mizzou is concerned.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, my playing for Charlie Spoonhours. He always said when you're playing a team with more talent, you have to reduce the number of possessions in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your best chance. And I just think, and you saw Drake play a ton, Scott, is that with their veteran guards, I think they're going to be able to dictate tempo. And if they don't turn the ball over and let Missouri get out and run, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think at the end, Missouri's got more talent and will probably prevail, but I think it's going to be a dogfight because I think Drake is experienced, they're cool, they're collected, and they've, you know, when you win 30 games and run through the valley like they did, they're going to be ready.
Yeah, and they've had some tough competition against Power Four schools during the non-conference season where they had success as well. So you and I are kind of on the same boat. I want to get back sort of kind of to Sunday as we get into this, and obviously the topic of conversation is, you know, how many teams from the SEC? 14. That's a lot, man. Are we heading in the wrong direction getting all these teams from one particular conference?
Maybe. But when you watch, you know, the eye test, you watch the SEC all season long, you look at these teams and you're like, wow. I mean, Texas A&M is a team. Mississippi State is a team that could make a deep run. They're super talented, super physical. A&M, for one, I mean, they get more shot, more second chance shots on the offensive glass than just about anybody. Yeah, it pains us that those that like the upsets and are fans of the mid majors, as you and I are, because we like to see, you like to see a McNeese State, you like to see Utah State, you want to see some of these teams, Colorado State, make a run. That's what makes the tournament so magical. So you do wonder, with the haves and the have-nots and the NIL and the transfer portal, is that going to just price out all of the mid-majors and the high double-digit seeds as we move forward? I don't know how they're going to do it. They're talking about expanding the tournament, but you got to keep the magic of the tournament is the upsets in the first and second round. So while my eye test tells me that the teams in the SEC are deserving, you got to find a way to preserve the mid-majors so that they can make a run. I mean, that's what makes it so magical.
And when you were playing, and you know this, even watching the other teams when you were playing back in the 90s, and it has gone through, is the story that normally comes out of it, more times than not, isn't the national champion. It's the who was the Cinderella in 2022? Who was a Cinderella in 2015 or whatever? That's always the big story, and I think we're starting to lose that, and that's why I posed the question to you. I mean, I think the A-10, I think just like the Missouri Valley Conference, we have one bid. I think the AAC also had one bid. I mean, it's really pretty crazy to see how many of the lower divisions, lower conferences are not getting as many bids. I've been told by people who are on these expansion committees that if they do expand, that we're going to see more mid-majors. But, to me, talk is cheap. I want to actually physically see it so we have that opportunity to continue what is just an incredible sporting event for everyone. Because, as you know, you have maybe even less than a casual fan that's all watching college basketball this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And that you worry about the dispersion between the haves and the have-nots. And you think about George Mason made a run to the Final Four. Yep. Loyola Chicago made a run to the Final Four. St. Peter's made it to the second round. Like, is that going to still be possible with the NIL era that we're in, with the portal transfer? Or is just money going to just price everybody out of the business? Or do you just expand the tournament and hope that you have enough teams where the law of large numbers allows for some upsets to happen? But to make a deep run and beat these, well-funded SEC programs with general managers, unless something changes, I think that's the direction we're going.
The one thing that happened, and you know this, Scotty, is when you're talking about mid-major conferences, why they had the big upsets. We saw, Northern Iowa knocking off Kansas and go right on down the line, is you had guys that were within that program for 2, 3, or even 4 years. And as you're pointing out, is with the portal and NIL, you're not even having these players in the mid-major level stay for more than a year. They're moving on because they're getting better deals with all the major conferences in the Power Four. And so you're having a little bit more of the separation, as you're, I think, alluding to, is the haves and the have-nots. And are we going to even have a Cinderella anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I love Florida. Like, I've watched Florida play a bunch. A lot of people have Florida winning national championship. I look at their backcourt. And their backcourt are starting guards, the starting guards from Belmont, from Iona, and Florida Atlantic. Those are the guys. Those guys played for 3 years there and then transferred to Florida. And now Florida's, one of the favorites to win the whole thing. It makes me sad for the programs that have developed, who recruited, identified, and developed these young men. And then, 3-4 years in, they get an upgrade and go somewhere else. It just kind of pains me as somebody who's a fan of the majors.
So who do you like in this, and who do you think may be the Cinderella story?
Man, the Cinderella story is always tough. I'm a little bit of a chalk guy. When you get deep in the tournament, I think, you see the upsets early in the first and second round, but as you get deeper, it's harder to pick the upsets for me. I do, again, a little bit of a hometown bias in watching VCU a bunch in the A-10. Mm-hmm. I do like them because they've got experience, they've got size, they've got athleticism. I think they've got an interesting matchup with BYU and maybe Wisconsin to get to that second weekend. I don't know if they match up great with Alabama. I think McNeese State is kind of interesting, with Will Wade, who apparently may be taking the NC State job, but McNeese State's got six guys that average double figures. Billiken fans will remember Cynthia Parker is one of those six players at McNeese State. It'll be interesting to see who can go deep. I tell you, the way North Carolina played last night, even though they were in the play-in game, I look at their next matchup. It, you know, could be against Iowa State, and then they could play Michigan State.
Right.
They've got enough talent in the way that they're playing now. Could they make a deep run?
What a story that would be.
I know. What were they, 1-12?
Yes.
Quad one games.
Yes.
But you know as well as I do, I mean, they've got the talent. I mean, they got plenty of talent. If they get that thing going like they did last night, I mean, they just blew San Diego State off the floor.
They
so
did.
We'll see. There's some other, you know, maybe first-round games like Colorado State over Memphis and some stuff like that, like McNeese. I love St. Mary's, what Randy Bennett's done at St. Mary's. But when it gets down to it, it's hard to pick against the Auburns, the Floridas, the Houstons, the Alabamas. Just the eye test is hard for me to do.
Very, very talented. Well, the Bills unfortunately had their season come to an end last night down in Jonesboro in the NIT. First season for Josh Schertz, a lot of excitement, and it was quite a turnaround from the season before that. Just your general thoughts on season one with Coach.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach Schertz and company.
Well, if I think they've identified anything, it's that Coach Schertz has a system that's A, it's really entertaining to watch.
Yep.
B, it's very defined, and so they know exactly the kind of kids that they got to recruit and to play that system. They've got to have high skill kids that have some length with a high basketball IQ. So I am very encouraged by what I saw this year, and you know, it's just going to be a matter of, can you get enough depth this year? They just did not have enough depth. They had a strong five as anybody probably in the A-10. But when your guys are playing 38, 40 minutes a night, doing it 34 times a year, you just can't sustain it. You get a conference tournament, you just can't do it. They did not have enough depth. So they're going to have to recruit well. They're going to have to get in the portal. They're going to have to add some depth. But in terms of the way that they play, the style and the way Coach Schertz thinks the game, I think it's fascinating. I think he's incredible. And I think if they get enough horses in the stable, they're going to win big at a high level soon. I really do.
It's really fun to watch. And I think what was interesting, the comments last night, Robbie came right on out after the game in the Zoom with the media and apologized to the media, which I think obviously is also a sigh of relief for a lot of Billiken fans, knowing that he's going to come back again for another year.
Yeah, and I mean, it just shows great leadership, and there are guys that are going to want to play with him that have watched him for 2 years. I mean, if I'm the next Gibson Jimerson, or I'm somewhere, and I go, I want to go play in a system that scores a bunch of points, that exploits my ability and my skill level, and play with somebody, with a guy like that, that can really pass it and super unselfish. I think playing with Robbie Avila in St. Louis and for Coach Schertz would be really, really interesting if I were looking for a place to play.
Yeah, you got a big like that that can distribute as well as score. That's huge for a team like that, and that has to be, like you mentioned, got to be something that's got to be appealing for a guy that maybe wants to get that opportunity, especially with the great pedigree that Josh Schertz has had year one in SLU, and of course what he did not only at Indiana State, but his incredible success at Lincoln Memorial for so many years before he went to Terre Haute. Scotty, always appreciate the time. We appreciate you taking the time out here tonight, and I know you'll be tuned in like the rest of us tomorrow watching basketball galore, buddy.
Will do, my friend. Always good to be with you, Scott. Thanks so much, my friend.
You got it. That is the Billiken Hall of Famer, Scott Highmark, talking some March Madness with us here on the Voice of St. Louis KMOX and your voice for Billiken basketball. All right, we'll change gears, talk some more baseball. Joe Strom from the St. Louis Cardinals is going to join us next. He's going to tell you about all the festivities going around on opening day, as well as the entire opening day weekend here in the Gateway City. So Joe from the Cardinals will join us next on KMOX.